Everyone, it's a great joy and a privilege to be back at Scott's Clayfield. This is actually my second time that I have preached here at Scott's. The last time was 19 and a half years ago. It was, as Leslie shared with you, I was a minister in the United Free Church back in Scotland, and I was encouraged by Giro to apply to come across to Australia, and I came across in 2001 to preach in a few vacant churches. At that time, Clayfield had just become vacant. I think, was it Graham had left just a few years before? Sorry? Maybe Frank Savage, yes. That was, I think he left just a few months before. Anyway, I preached here I think Guido was trying me out. But it's great to be back again. And as Leslie shared with you, I was minister up in South Toowoomba for almost 10 years before taking on the role with Prescare as an aged care chaplain. I was actually based mainly down in our facility, which was down in Thornlands. We wish others health and prosperity, and we wish them well for the new year. But in a real sense, we don't know what the new year will bring. We have no concept of what the new year will bring. Who could have picked it last new year, what we would go through in 2020? This time last year, my wife and daughter and I were preparing to go on a trip back to the UK and over to Israel. And we actually managed to go pre-COVID. But then COVID hits, and the world has changed so much. Who would have expected it? Who would have picked that things could be so radically different in 2020? The reality is that life is unpredictable. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. And this is exactly the point that James makes in our passage. He says that life is like a vapor, a mist that's there that clouds our vision and then is gone the next second. I'm sure you've heard the saying about Scotch mist. In Scotland, it is true that the mist can be there and then it's gone. It disappears. There are no guarantees in life because life is like a vapor. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, let alone next year. James says that because life is a vapor, we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to recognize that God has a will and a purpose, not just for us and our lives, but for history. God does have a plan. The world is not out of control. The world and history is in God's control. James comes to this point, and in some ways, our passage where Enzo took up actually seems to be sort of a little bit out of context, a little bit different. But actually, it links back through chapter 4. James is making the point that as Christians, our attitude should be one of humility, where we need to humble ourselves before God. James has been pointing out that in order to have good relationships, strong relationships, and remember, he's talking to Christians in the church, yet these Christians were divided because of conflict in their relationships. And now he turns to almost an arrogant, boastful, prideful attitude. It's one where be looking to the future, but not even considering God. I'm sure that's true. Even in my own heart at times. I'm sure it's true for all of us. That there are times when we too seem to make plans and make all of these arrangements or have these expectations and hopes for the future. But we don't actually ourselves before God. We don't allow God to actually direct us. James says that these people, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll go this place, I'll go that place. I'll make money, I'll pray. Yet sometimes it's a case that things don't work out. And this is why we need what God's word tells us, that we really need to humble us. Because that attitude, that the Apostle John actually says in his first letter, he calls it a boastful pride of life. You know, we in our lives, we need to stop and pause. And we need to look to the Lord and look to where the Lord is leading us and guiding us. The issue with these people within the church that James is writing to is it's not that they're looking to make a profit as businessmen. The issue is they wish away tomorrow. They're so fixated on their plans. They're so fixated on according to their ways. Today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Let's be honest. We don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes from now. The Lord may come back in 10 minutes. We don't know. But the key to all of this is acknowledging the fact that life is a mist. It's something that can change in an instant. Something that can disappear so quickly. It's like you get your cup of coffee, it's steaming hot. You see the vapor evaporating. And then, as soon as you see it, It gets absorbed. It changes. Life is like that. Yet, James makes the point that these businessmen were, in a sense, arrogantly looking to the future. They were excluding God from their plans. They were presuming that they not only could foretell a future, but that they could direct the future. And that's why James says, all such boasting is evil. The reality is that our lives, like that vapor, can disappear, can be taken in an instant. Our days, our weeks, our months, and even our years are so brief. And that's how we started our service this morning, with that reading from Psalm 90, where the psalmist makes that exact point. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. And this is the reason that he concludes, he finishes with saying, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. It's quite scary when I actually thought about this, but this year I will be 54 years old. And according to these calculations, if I live 70 years, I only have 16 years to live, or 192 months, or 5,480 days. That brings it down to tin tacks, doesn't it? How quickly time passes. Who knows? I may have longer, I may have shorter than that. But only God knows, and only God can give me the wisdom that I need to spend those days profitably, in the light of eternity. So often our minds are closed to the here and now, to what we see, what we can touch, what we can experience. But the reality for the Christian, the reality as revealed in God's word, is that life isn't just about the 70 years that we may have here on earth. But it's actually about eternity. Eternity in God's presence. How can we live profitably here on earth without taking into consideration eternity? Without considering that we need to ensure that our eternity is secure. And that's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. George Bernard Shaw very astutely stated, the statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of one people dies. In other words, every single one of us is going to die. That is the reality. The reality of life is death. I'm not trying to be morbid, but we need to bear that in mind. Because it puts into perspective what truly is profitable, what truly is valuable. And that's what God gives us. The promise of eternal life in his presence. We need to realize that the key to tomorrow and the key to eternity is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to acknowledge that we need to humble ourselves before God. That we need to look to the Lord to give us that hope and certainty that we need. There's no issue, it's not as if it's wrong for us to make plans for the future. Actually, we're called by God to be good stewards. We're called to live wisely. But how do we live wisely? We live wisely in dependence on God. Living according to biblical priorities. Living with, if you like, the end view always in sight. What is the end view? The end view is to live for eternity in God's presence, praising him and worshiping him. Yes, we need. We have needs here and now. Needs in order to live. We need to make plans for our future, for our career, for our work. We need to make plans for our families. We need to make plans for our finances. We need to have money in order to live. That's not wrong. But it's when our trust, when our focus is set solely on achieving these things, that it becomes an issue. Because when we exclude God from all of our plans, all of our future, basically what we're doing is we're saying to God, well, I am captain of my own ship. It's me who decides where and when and how. That's why James says there is an arrogant pride. That's why he says that these people are getting it wrong. We don't know what's going to happen. And James gives, if you like, the key to unlocking what our attitude should be. He says that our attitude, verse 15, for this is what you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. The key is to looking to the Lord, to actually acknowledge his will for our lives, to acknowledge that he is master over our future and our destiny, and humbling ourselves before God. You know, it is a case that we need to do this in order to number our days wisely. As Leslie was sharing, I was a press care chaplain. I actually finished up with press care on the 31st of December. I am now redundant. And it's a funny feeling, I can tell you. The first time, really, in my life that I'm in this position. And I've had many people, residents, relatives, staff, who've come to me and said, oh, what are you going to do? Are you not worried? And it may just be that it's a case that because of my faith, I believe that God has a perfect place for me. He has a perfect will and purpose for me. Where that is, well, God will direct. But in a real sense, I have a peace and a contentment because I know that my future is in the hands of a loving Father, a Father who knows me, a Father who has a purpose and a place for me. You know, it's when we have that certainty about the future, when we know what it is that we can trust in. It's because of this that we can rejoice. We rejoice not in, as James accuses these business people of rejoicing in their boastful planning. But our rejoicing is not based upon these things which are uncertain. Our boasting, our certainty, our hope, our confidence for the future is based upon a sovereign and almighty God. A God who has not just the world in his hands, who has each one of us in his hands, who has our destiny in his hands. And it's because of this that we can actually move forward into the future with confidence, with certainty. But James, again, it seems rather strange, but in verse 17, he concludes, therefore, to the one who knows what is good and does not do it, to him is sin. It's a challenge for all of us. This isn't disconnected, this verse. This verse hits home at, if you like, something of our human nature. Because sometimes we acknowledge something. We say, oh yes, I believe in God has a will and a purpose for my life. And then what do? We go away, as James said earlier. It's like we look in a mirror. We go away and do our own thing. We forget what we have seen, what we have acknowledged. At New Year, it is a time for us to take stock, to reflect, to look forward. But we need to do it committed. Committed that we might walk in God's way, according to God's will, God's priorities for our lives. I pray for each one of us that we do that. Pray that for each one of us, that as we face the uncertainty of 2021, what that may bring, God knows. But God does know. And God is in control. And God does have a plan and purpose. And you know that next week, that's what we'll be looking at. How God is sovereign. How God, the Lord, reigns over all things. And because of that message, we can have confidence. Pray for each one of us that we might indeed be encouraged as we move forward, that we might move forward in step with the Lord. Amen.